condition, my condition was ill.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Oh. Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him. I found my mind in a brown paper bag.
Well, and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Honesty. He's Jack Silverman on the phone. On the phone and on a board, and he's here on a, what do we call, polar vortex day. At least he wore the right jacket. I did not. He's on the weather. He's our weatherman. That's why I mean, I'm just, you know, wandering around looking at stocks and stuff. So that's the kind of guy I am. Today's the big day. We have the April job report coming out. Last Friday was the 1st of May. So it didn't come out last week. It's come out this week. And we're talking about 20 million jobs lost. That's going to be a number. So maybe a 16% unemployment, which is kind of like recession era, depression era days. It's a, this is not good. So we have, as soon as I get my NASDAQ futures are up 91, we don't seem to care in terms of the market. We're running up because I think the market is traveling by a beat of a different drummer here. And I don't know exactly quite why, but it is. Do we have Kevin? Jack, do we have Kevin? All right, not yet. I'm not hearing you back here too well. My headphones are not on, so something's wrong here. Anyway, we have the S&P futures are up 29, NASDAQ futures up 91. Again, all eyes are on the April job report. We've got the U.S.-China rivalry picking up here. Coronavirus pandemic could tilt global power in Beijing's favor. I don't know about that necessarily, but I think some of the stuff that is going on is, I get the feeling that it's beyond the comprehension of some of our leaders, and that really kind of bothers me some. So that's where we all are. So we have all kinds of the bear schedule came out. Who knows if they're going to play? We have all kinds of things happening in the world, and the big number today is this labor number. I don't even know how to handicap it, to be honest with you. It's very unusual. People know that I'm Jack, for sure, that I'm sort of speechless, but I don't know what we're going to do with those kinds of numbers. Kevin, are you there?
I am here.
What's up, buddy? How are you? Are you ready for,
Doing all right this morning. It's Friday. And those of us who are fortunate enough to continue to work, even if, remotely, actually know which day it
Jack,
is.
I think you got something going on with headphones, buddy.
Pardon?
Kevin, I don't know if you can hear me, but I cannot hear you or anybody, so.
Oh, I can hear you. Okay, I'll just take over the show while you get your stuff
fixed.
Well,
that's fine. You'd probably do a better job anyway.
Let me see. What do we want to discuss first?
Now I can hear you. So
darn it.
You're kind of going in and out. I started yesterday. Well, I've been doing this for a while. I want your, you know, I'm going to say more everyman opinion on what I'm talking about with these. I sit here. You know, obviously, as I said yesterday, because I really do believe this is going to keep going, because I've seen it happen in other really horrendous economic circumstances. I think we've got a serious issue with pouring too much money into the system and having a, and we're gonna push asset prices up, meaning the stock market, even though the rest of the people are going to be in bad shape. And I don't see, Kevin, am I the only one that's picking that up? I didn't hear about that. All we're doing is talking about, oh, man, the market must, like, love this stock. The market must love this stock. Kevin, I don't think it has anything to do with that. I honestly don't. I think it has zero to do with that at this point. And I don't know.
The market may be starting to react to reopening a little bit, but you're right. This is just how inflation works.
We don't usually have inflation.
If it has the same value it did last week and there's more money chasing it, then the prices, you know, and we've flushed all this money into the system, it's got to go somewhere.
We have clearly there's an issue with this. I don't know how people pick it up. And this is, I was listening to Fast Money last night, and there's people in there I think are pretty darn bright. And they were talking about the amount of money being poured in the system, and they were talking about inflation. And they said how they were going to keep an eye on it, in like oil and in, you know, soybeans and in things like that. Kevin, that's the old playbook. I mean, I've been chirping for, you know, 15 years that this time it's in medical services, it's in taxes, it's in education. It's not in soybeans. I mean, you can't just say that if corn stays at $4 a bushel that there's no inflation. I mean, what is the inflation going to be in taxes when this is all over, assuming it's ever all over? I mean, I can't even imagine what your property tax is going to be.
Well, and that, you know, now is the time for people to start at least behind the scenes be discussing it, but, you know, certainly it would be better to be aired up front where, you know, there's going to be some unpleasant truths here that we're going to need to, you know, we're going to need to wrestle with some things to get back on track. Okay. So let's start talking about what those are. Does that mean you have to, you know, maybe raise taxes tomorrow? Maybe not in many cases. Maybe not, you know, especially for the feds, because you might not want to raise taxes when you're trying to recover. Okay, I get it. But you got to know that sooner or later we're going to have to pay for all this. And we are, you know, I'm not hearing a lot of discussion of that, I guess. I don't want to say nobody's talking about it, but I'm saying I'm not hearing a lot of discussion of that.
I think, Kevin, you reach a point sometime where there's no good time for like a fumble in football or something like that. I mean, there's no good time to raise taxes. But right now, I mean, we have had the thing that, well, a lot of things frost me, as people know, but the thing that frosts me the most, and this is the part I'm absolutely livid with the people that are making these decisions. And it's not like, you know, I'm the genius doctor that says, you know, we should go back to work, we shouldn't go back to work, and I don't know what the areas under the, I don't get the statistics these guys do, but I think that they don't have the statistics that they should have to be making these decisions that they have, but that's another story. But the whole idea that people who are getting paid, I don't think it's possible for Lori Lightfoot, the members of the city council, maybe some of the members of the legislature, because a lot of those guys, that's a part-time job. They all have regular jobs, which is even more bizarre. Or to go, I don't think they have any idea of what the regular person is going through. I mean, ArcelorMittal lost, what, $1 billion this quarter. You're going to raise their taxes, Kevin? I mean, what are you doing? They used to say back in the 60s, it's politically incorrect now, doesn't do any good to beat a dead horse. So somebody's been out of work now 6 weeks, maybe he's getting unemployment, maybe he got his check from the government, you're going to tell him next year his property taxes have doubled? What are you doing? We not only mention
the
fact that
so the alternative is to not waste so damn much money in government, which is of course birds got to fly, fish got to swim, government got to waste money. But the whole thing is we're not even going to discuss this. We're going to go through a whole presidential campaign, and it's not going to get serious discussion. And that always irks me, that there's all of, a litany. It's not just this. It's a litany of important issues, and we're going to talk about stupid stuff. This is important now. We made some decisions. Good decisions, bad decisions, argue that all you want. But the point is, we made decisions that have some very serious long-term implications. This should have a really this should cause radical change in the way we manage the federal budget. I have no confidence that it will.
No.
But it should.
Well, why just federal? I mean, you can't.
Well, the state budgets are. Yeah, I agree. That's just one example. I was speaking specifically to the presidential campaign.
Well, I would say that right now in this city, I'll take Chicago and other cities. I'm sure the same way, or certainly in the state of Illinois, when you see the drain and what's going on here, now we're going to borrow money from the government or the federal government. Kevin, I don't give a crap what the Constitution says. I am cutting, because everybody else is out of work, I'm cutting everybody's pension, everybody's, by 25% this month. Sue me. And anybody who's working at home for the state or the city, down 40%. Because we don't have it. You can't have half the people not working and the other people getting full pay. Especially when the people who aren't working are the ones that are paying the people who are getting the full pay. I mean, the math is just not there.
Yeah, death spiral is worse than it ever was now.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I was listening to a whole stream of people yesterday. And, again, you're the man who has the Mr. You teach online. You've done your school and your stuff. You've done a terrific job all through the thing, all through this whole several years of teaching people how to operate in this information world a little more efficiently. Sometimes you don't always have to go to work. Certainly if you're a supply salesman person, you're better off probably working a little bit out of home and going to see your clients from home and not driving 40 miles to work and back and starting your day there. I mean, we all know that this has changed somewhat, and your the ability to stay connected has certainly helped out. But I must have heard 15 swinging whatever people yesterday talk about that the work from home thing is going to be something that's with us forever. I got news for you, Kevin. I'm getting old. I know people. There's no way in earth, no way in God's earth, that I'm paying somebody that I can't see what the hell he's doing 99% of the time. No friggin' way. I'm just saying. I mean, unless we go to George Orwell, where your computer that you claim you're working on, I can see you. It ain't happening. It is not happening on a long-term basis. If there's any kind of special assignment I need, and if I see somebody's not busy and I have something special to do, I'm not coming here to my office and having 15 people who work for me sitting at home, me not knowing what the hell they're doing. Maybe we're playing patty fingers with the wife or her husband, walking the dog, God knows, playing solitary, betting online. That's not happening, Kevin. I mean, it may happen for a little while, may happen for a week or a month, but it's not happening on a full-time basis. Not me, not ever. Just saying.
Well, in fact, there are quite a few virtual companies out there.
Yes, that I understand.
That have been operating that way for years, and there are also companies that have implemented work at home where they know exactly when you log in and how much activity you've had. But those generally are almost call center jobs.
Yeah,
they may
what I mean.
Be outbound as much as inbound, but they're typically call center jobs where the software is pacing you. So there are places where this can work.
Yes, yes.
And be effective, and it saves the company a lot of money in not having to have an office. They just, they'll outfit their employees with what they need at home and then take it from there. There are, I know certainly a consulting company can do this because their people aren't in the office anyway, and I have someone on my advisory board who is the HR manager for a consulting, a lean consulting company.
Anybody's being paid.
It's exactly what they do. She's based in South Bend, but their people are scattered all over the country, and they just get online for virtual meetings once in a while.
A real estate person can do it, Kevin, because if you don't sell a house, you don't get paid. You don't get out. But I mean, those are any type of sales job, any type of anything, where if you don't do it, you don't get paid. I don't want to watch you anyway. Or like I say, a call center job. You route the customer calls home, and I can tell you're on the phone 7.5 hours with a customer. But just in general, I'll just stay home. Eh. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think not every job. When people are saying it's here to stay, I don't think it's here to stay for everything. But I think you will see more of it because a lot of people have realized that.
Well, it
we
also
can do
comes.
This. We can do this effectively.
There also comes down to the people that may be doing your software stuff. They're outside agents. They're getting paid by the job. I don't care where they are. I don't need to watch them because they're doing. So the more you do that, yes. But I'm saying if you have a plain old flat-out employee that you're paying to do stuff all during the day and whenever something comes up you need them to do it, they're not going to be home. I don't think.
No, they're not. And manufacturing employees aren't going to be home.
Yeah.
Warehousing employees are not going to be home. That it doesn't work very well that way, although, you know, we will probably... I am saying one of the outcomes of all this is we're going to step on the gas on... robotics technology. I think you're going to see a ton of that. A lot more willingness to invest because people are going to insist on bringing certain supply chains back within the boundaries of the United States. And when they do, the only way that that can be done competitively is with a large capital investment so that you have a very, very small unit cost for production. And that's going to, and we already see that. I know of one company in Elkhart in the RV industry, the stodgiest, oldest industry in the world, that several months back opened essentially a whole factory. They call it their lights out factory. There's like 9 people that operate the whole factory because it's so automated.
Well, when you go buy a car, and I think the number's even shrunk, although I don't believe it because there's got to be some people making it. You have to have some people on board someplace, but I think if you went online, you might even find, because I haven't done this in a while, when people who buy a car, so I'll use the term collectively ignorant the world is about some of this stuff. Everybody will tell you when they buy a car, the car is so expensive because of the auto workers union. And yet, I think we're down to what, 35 hours a car? So 35 times, even if they're making 50, which they're not,
And a lot of it's offshore too. So
yeah, so it's 1,500 hours.
Or shore would be the right word if it went to Mexico, but it's you know outsourced to another country.
Well, it's like a riverboat. It's on the Rio Grande. It's offshore, right? Across the Rio Grande.
Yeah, I suppose so. Might have wheels sometimes.
Well, plus if you pour pollution in on the other side of the Rio Grande, it doesn't count, right? But if it's on our side, it counts. Water doesn't get dirty on the other side, right?
It definitely doesn't.
No, it definitely does not. But I mean, the whole idea. I mean, I gotta believe auto manufacturing is about as robotic as you're gonna get. I mean, there's 35 hours in a car. It's $1,500. Okay, the car costs 35. Duh. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think that Kevin, while all this is happening, some of the numbers, some of the things that are being blown by people. I know we want to talk a little about the Matt Taibbi article about people want to. You ramp up the censorship, and I'd love to get him back on maybe next week or something because Matt's been on a few times. Boy, what a terrific guest he is! But you know, Kevin, it's almost like you can't even really zero on a subject these days without having more and more background and more lead up to the debate, and yet the whole world is going. They don't want any lead up. They don't want any backstory. They just want their tweet. And whatever person they believe, be it right or left, they believe that tweet without even knowing why. I mean, yet the stuff keeps getting more and more complicated. I never thought that, well, actually I have thought on many occasions, if you went back, for every big rally and every big sell-off in the stock market, really in my lifetime and before, starting with 1968, you would find that Fed policy, 3 to 6 months before, has led every single stock rally and every single stock sell-off. Because it's money into the system and money out. Because they continually have this insanely stupid sophomoric idea that what they do into the market, into the federal funds market, somehow is reaching every man and helping them out. I mean, the money they've poured in lately, the extent they've sent you a check, I guess it's helped you out. But the idea that you know, the money pouring in for big companies and so forth, your interest rate's still the same. It's still 25% on a credit card. It might even be going up. Who knows? So, I mean, they actually think they're helping you. And yet, I don't think they are. And right now, I think that if you have a savings account of $10,000 and you've had it for the last year, I think your worth of that savings account is probably down to $8,000 right now. We're up to 18 or 14% of money supply in 4 months this year. So, which means the same amount of goods, actually the goods are less, that your dollars are worth less. Certainly, if you go to buy anything in the market, it's worth less, right?
Yeah. When we talk about along those lines, when we talk about who should work at home more, I would be fine with Congress working at home more and with you know, there have been some moves anyway, but more of moving regulators' offices out of Washington, D.C. and closer to the industries they regulate. But sending Congress home more often, that would work for me. I know they have to get together and negotiate things and develop relationships and all that, so I'm not sending them home full time. But boy, how much would they benefit from living and going to the grocery store and all of those things around the same people that they're representing?
I'm going to say, again, Kevin, everything has two sides of the story, right? I'm going to say that if Congress was working properly and Washington was working better than we'd like to think it is, in some ways, it's good to have the Department of the Interior guys, you know, a few of them in a national park. I get that part. That's what they're supposed to be regulating, right? Or something like that. The oil guys.
Yeah, or the Department of Agriculture out in the Midwest.
But by the same token, you do have a Congress, and the committees of the Congress, more than anybody, I mean, you know this, but I mean, a lot of people, I think, have forgotten it, and so have I, but now I'm thinking about it. If I'm the chairman of the Department of Agriculture, not Department of the Agricultural Committee, every time I want to see one of these guys, I don't want to have to fly him here. Whenever I'm having a hearing, I want his ass there. So, I mean, I want to be able to look
at him. Yeah, as I said, don't make it full-time, just make it sometimes.
Yeah, what I'm
make
saying.
Make it more.
But I mean, the part of, one of the issues is when we first started the Congress, okay, and again, it's changed, things have changed. We, the founding fathers, had 435 people in the House, 100 people in the Senate. Well, the whole idea is, you're there, you disagree, you're a big scrum of people, it's like a trading floor, for God's sake. It's a big scrum, people come with different walks of life, different places, and the idea is, you're supposed to be able to hammer out compromise. Now, of course, this doesn't happen much anymore, but the design was, you sort of went to the same bars, you went to the same restaurants, you were here in the same hotels, that somehow or another, that was all part of it, interpersonal relationships. Now, we don't think those things are worth anything, or a lot of people don't. I don't need any interpersonal relations, I can tweet you. I don't want to talk to you on the phone, I can text you. I think we lose a lot in there, Kevin. I think we really do. And the idea that once in a while, you know, congressmen get forced to sit there and have dinner with each other, or have a drink with each other, or a coffee, or whatever at the Starbucks, or run into each other and maybe have a conversation about something and say, you know, maybe I go this way on this informally. I think informal discussions are incredibly important in something like that. I mean,
I agree, but I also think those same informal discussions need to happen with constituents.
I never said you shouldn't be home ever. What I said was, I mean, you talk about the, you know, your G7 meetings. Okay, you could do the G7 meeting, you know, through Skype or something. You're not going to do all the aids you brought with actually talking, you know, in the outside rooms over what actually is going to happen. Because all the discussions don't take place in the big televised room. That you could do on Skype. But the rest of the stuff, I don't know if you can. I mean, I know I'm getting older, and that's my way of doing business, but I just know the communication. One of the best things that ever happened to me in my business, Kevin, when I have people's retirement money that I manage for them and so forth, is I would get people to come in and they'd listen to me on the show when John and I were on the score and so forth. They'd come in and we'd talk and they'd say, "Well, I'm going to go home and talk to my wife and blah blah blah," and I'd never hear from them again, even though I think they were gung ho. So I talked to my cousin who's a pretty serious guy, been in sales his whole life. And he goes, "You're doing it all wrong." I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Don't ever expect anybody to sell your stuff, your plan to somebody else. You have to do that. Tell the guy to bring his wife in, for God's sake. It's her money, too. What's the matter with you?" Once I did that, Kevin, I don't think I ever lost a sale. I mean, I never lost an investor. It actually appealed more to them, my protected program, than it did to the guy. So I think when you talk to people, if you're going to go to a G7 meeting with an agenda, you've got to go, because the people you want to influence with your ideas, hopefully for the good, are there, and you don't want to talk to one guy and say go tell it to another guy. It never works that way, I don't think. Sure didn't for me.
Yeah, well, and I think what you're describing is that if you were to say, you know, basically, why do you do business with someone? It's because you know them, like them, and trust them.
Right.
And that, you know, that's most businesses, not every business. You know, I don't know, like, or trust Menards. I just go in there to get what I need.
Don't ever expect a check for the 11% thing. I've never got one.
Yeah. But nevertheless, I just see a lot of value in regaining some touch, because I think that's one of the problems with Washington right now, and with, you know, with the federal legislature, is you know, they spend all their time there. It becomes, you know, you get absorbed into this weird culture that is part of Washington, D.C., and the more you're away from home and the more you're into that, the more out of touch you become. And there needs to be something that forces people back into their districts more often and for longer periods of time. It can't just be I went home for the weekend and had a town hall. That's not normal. That's not the way. That doesn't give you a flavor for how people are living. It just here, you know, it gives you words from people who come in and, you know, have complaints to lodge or whatever. There needs to be that ability to just live, to go to the store. I know this with businesses, you know, and this is one of the cool things about the business community in a small area like where I live, is they are very, you know, most business owners are very, very hesitant to do any kind of layoff, for example. That's like a last-ditch thing that you have to do, because these are the same people that you're going to see in the store, that you're going to see at church, at school stuff, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, they take seriously that they're part of the community, because they are part of the community. They have to, you know, they live there. They work there. And it was like that when I was in St. Joseph. It was like that where I am now in Elkhart County and St. Joe County, working in Indiana. Mostly, that's the way, even Marshall County, too, which encompasses Plymouth, you know, that there's a lot of business activity there, and, you know, how you fit into the community genuinely matters to the businesses.
I think
it becomes part of the culture, and it's a nice thing, it's a wonderful thing, but I think it also is healthier.
Some of it, Kevin, I think, though, is the person. There are people, and I only got a minute and a half before we get a break, is Jimmy Tyree at Mesro, one of the most incredible men I ever met. I went to one of those Economic Columbus Chicago things with him. And, you know, Jimmy didn't call me up every day and find out how my business was going. He knew I cleared through there. And but we went to dinner, and I started asking him, "So, Jim, you know, how's things going at Mesro?" "I don't want to talk about Mesro. I know all about Mesro. I want to talk about you. How are things going with you? How are we servicing you?" And in 15 or 20 minutes, before the rest of the people arrived, he had a very good idea of what the issues were facing me. Now, he did that because he wanted to. I mean, the guys that are in Washington a little bit more than they want to be will have a staff here that is hitting the ground running, and they're getting the information. If you want the information, Kevin, you'll get it. If you don't, you won't. Doesn't matter whether you and I stick him in the local saloon three nights a week. He's going to sit in the corner playing the video poker game or something. If he doesn't want to hear what other people's issues are, he or she will not. You know what I'm saying? You either want to or you don't sometime. And busy people, who is it that said, if you want something done, you ask a busy person to do it? That's why they're busy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so anyway, SP Futures up 31, NASDAQ Futures 97. We talk more about this when we come back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Jack Silverman on the board. And he's dealing with a gremlin this morning. We'll see how he does with this. I mean, this might be a bad gremlin, but he's good. He'll figure this out. S&P futures up 30. We got NASDAQ futures up 92. We have the Dow futures. They are up 249. Every stock in the Dow is up. We're just up and away. Apple up another $3. We've got Microsoft up $1.79. We've got a lot of call buying all over the place and a lot of this stuff. We also have gold continuing. GDX is up another 30 cents this morning. Well, let's figure out what the rest of the world's doing here. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 122, 1%. FTSE up 82, 1.4%. CAC around up 37.8. Over in Asia, Nikkei up 504. Now, these guys have been closed and then laggards. That's 2.5%. Shanghai up 23.8%. Hang Seng up 249. That's 1%. Bonds 10 years, 0.62, so the other way. The Bund minus 0.54, and up in Japan minus 0.004, so is just a little bit minus on that. Oil up 23 cents, 23.78. Brent up 26 cents, 29.72. Natural gas 188, remember it was over $2 on Tuesday. RBOB 92 cents. We've got gold up $1.89 at 17.27. Silver up 20 cents, 15.79. I still have not establish my long position in this silver because I keep trying to cheat my way in, and so far there ain't anything cheap in there because I go up every day. A copper 241 again on the drive up here a little bit. And platinum is up 420 to 786. Jack, what do you got for us? Traffic weather sports.
Good morning, everyone. We're looking pretty good on the traffic standpoint to start off this morning. Nothing really blocking anything up on the traffic standpoint. We do have an accident to report, however. The right shoulder is blocked on I-94 East at 87th Street, but it's not really causing any traffic or buildup. And we do have a bridge closed. It is for bridge testing at LaSalle Street between Wacker Drive and Kinsey Street. That bridge will be closed until Tuesday. And weather, we're looking okay right now. It's 40 degrees, mostly sunny, with a high of 41. But we do have 21 mile per hour winds in the city, so a little bit colder than that 40 degrees. In Phoenix, looking a bit warmer, 76 degrees, partly cloudy, with a high of 104. And this day in sports, May 8th, 1973, the Cubs go into San Diego and beat the Padres 3-2 in the 12th inning. The reason why this is notable is because Cubs manager Whitey Lockman gets ejected during the game, and Ernie Banks fills in for the Cubs manager, becoming the first African-American manager in baseball.
Chief. Yeah, I remember that. Jack Brickhouse was all over it. Two things we missed this week, Kevin, and we're not usually good at missing, we're not usually miss these kinds of things. Two days ago was the 50th anniversary of one of the most disgusting things that ever happened in this country. It was Kent State, right?
Yep. I remember seeing some notes about that, yep.
And there's the people who are dead are still dead, go figure. But there's still people that are alive that are, at least one guy they interviewed the other day who's still paralyzed, right?
Yeah, and for those that don't know, for the youngsters in the crowd, Kent State was a Vietnam War protest at Kent State University. I think they're now just calling it Kent. And the National Guard opened fire on the protesters.
With live bullets, not dum-dum bullets?
With live bullets, yep.
Pretty scary stuff. Now, today is the 75th anniversary. Well, actually, the 74th, right, anniversary of the end of, 77th anniversary of the Allies accepting Germany's surrender.
Nice of them to offer it.
Yeah. It was, I don't know, who's even left to deal with there? Hitler and all his gang were dead, right? Or most of them? Who was even in charge?
Yeah, I don't know who signed off on that. That would be an interesting little nugget.
Got to be one of the generals, I would think.
Probably.
Kevin, we're seeing economically, I'm not going to spend too much time on this. I get a feeling a lot of people don't know what the hell I'm talking about, but one of the biggest economic truths that are held about the Great Depression, from Milton Friedman on down, again, a guy who was spectacularly brilliant, but also was a tenured professor, right? Never got out much. His view was the reason the Great Depression happened was that, in major economic terms, was that the Federal Reserve at the time let the money supply drop by 25 to 30% in a 6 or 7 month period. It wasn't just the crash of 29 and all the other stuff. It had to do with the money supply. Now, one of the reasons why that happened was that individual people went to the bank and their savings, the bank went under and they never got their savings. So clearly, that was money in the system that was now gone. So it doesn't surprise anybody that the money supply would drop even right now. If the Fed wasn't doing anything, the money supply would drop in a way where you don't want it to drop, all right? You'd rather not have it happen. But as time has gone by, And I've watched this happen in other countries and continue to read on the subject when all these other guys, Milton Friedman, are now dead at DED. It always struck me, Kevin, that maybe that wasn't exactly true. Well, let's put it this way. It was exceptionally true in what happened and what caused the Great Depression, all right, and from a monetary standpoint. However, the truth has always been that if we had to do it all over again, we would just jam that money back into, quote, the system, and it wouldn't have happened. And as time has gone by, and I've seen this happen time and again with the Resolution Trust, with the 2008 fiasco, well, you name it. I think that that's wrong. Okay, but I honestly do. I believe it's absolutely wrong in a sense. It's not just putting the money back in the system. It's how you put the money back in the system. If you just would have poured it in and somehow bought crap from people, because I don't think there was the float of federal bonds to goose the money supply 27%. There weren't that many bonds floating. Because normally what the Fed does is go out and buys existing federal paper, U.S. paper, and just essentially trades money for that paper. In other words, if Kevin O'Neill lends the government $50,000 on a 30-year bond, well, it just came out of Kevin's pocket and went into the federal government's pocket. Okay, so there's no net gain or loss of money there. But now if the Fed says, wait a minute, the system needs some more money, they create the $50,000 and they'll go out and buy the $50,000 from you. So they put the money essentially back in the system. So now you have it and the federal government's got it. All right. So again, I don't want to go too deep with this because I know people are wondering what the hell is he talking about. But the issue is, Kevin, if you just do that and don't find out that Jack Silverman's great grandmother had $5,000 in the, you know, Southside Savings Bank that's now closed. If you don't figure out a way to get her one or two or three of those thousand to get her money back that disappeared, if you do it that way, I think you can correct a lot of what happened. You're not going to get 100% of the money, but if you found the people that, quote, lost it out of thin air, it didn't go anywhere. It just was lost. Okay, if you find a way to do that, I think you can help the whole system. If you decide you're going to go buy, you know, somebody's Duesenberg for you know, a lot of money and pour the money back into the system that way, you're starting to help a segment. And I think all you would have done what they're doing now is dropped inflation on top of the poor bastards that were dying of poverty and the depression. The last thing they needed was inflation on top of that, right? So unless you find a way to get that money to the people who have, quote, lost it, I don't think you get anywhere. So right now, they're making a little bit of an attempt to get that money to, quote, certain people. But the money they're pouring in, they're using what? It's $200 billion out of $3 trillion that are going to people. The rest is going God knows where.
I don't know that number. That sounds low to me, though.
Well, after the second term, the second iteration, we're up to what? Maybe we're up to $500 billion. But still, it's essentially a sixth of the total money being spent, the $3 trillion that's entered the balance sheet, correct? Maybe a fifth.
Yeah, I'm taking your word for it, Tom. I don't know how. What I don't know is how much is getting to individuals and how much.
Well,
the
checks are. The checks are, and the small business loans are, and to the extent that those people, there is way better of an effort. It's not like there's nobody in the administration that has the same thoughts that I have about this. But by and large, it's going to the big people, like it always does. And it's going into the stock market. I mean, because clearly the idea is we're going to make sure that the wealthy people do not see. I mean, we can have 24% unemployment, Kevin, and it's a bad thing for the people we know that are unemployed, right? It's a horrible thing. But for the 1%ers, the half of 1%ers, it's nowhere near as devastating as if the market goes down 30%, right? None of those people are our people. We don't care about them. I would say you don't care. You care anecdotally.
Well, except that their retirement funds are those that have them are taking would take a hit too.
Yeah, but I have a feeling that if you were to check, that isn't a thing, Kevin. I'm going to say that in the last 7 or 8 years, because I can tell because these are the clients that I used to get more of, is the couple retiring. They walk in, they're 65. We saved up $1 million, $1.2 million in our 401k. Here you go, drop it in IRA and you manage it. You know, we're going on vacation. Kevin, that is nowhere near happening like it did 10 or 15 years ago. And it's not just me. They use the money that they dug in there to help with the kids' education. They help with something. They help bail one of their daughters or cousins or somebody out with what happened in 2009. Nobody is getting to retirement, and I won't say nobody. Most people are not making it to retirement age unscathed with that million something they saved up untouched. And how many people do you think are diving into I mean,
and anybody who didn't save is looking pretty smart now, because the money that everybody else saved is worth a whole lot less now.
But I'm saying, I'll bet you the four or five individually owned restaurants and bars that I try and, you know, kick money to, not to mention I like the people that are there, I'll bet every single one of them, Kevin, has had to dip into their savings. I'll bet they have taken money out of their IRA or their 401k to keep the place afloat. Everyone.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
So, I mean, it's this whole idea that this is all for your savings. Not to mention, if you're not in the market, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to tell, if, you know, if your mom or dad were still here and I was managing their money and they'd be 80-something, what am I going to do? I mean, they want risk-free stuff. They don't want to take any risk. I can't get them a dime risk-free, or I can get them, well, because we're good at it, you know, maybe we'll find the last 6 months of a 25-year Ford bond that we could still get somebody 2.5% or something. I mean, my brother and a couple guys here are good at that. RBC helps out. Once in a while, we can find a little berry like that that's, you know, it's 2.5%, Kevin. It's not anywhere near the 3 or 3.5 that risk-free rate should be. But I can't put, I mean, your mom and dad and Apple at 306. When we're talking about a NASDAQ that is higher on the year. You look out the window. This view out this window does not look like it did last December 31st. I'm sorry for the stocks to be valued the same number. I mean, we're talking every single company is coming out with horror. I mean, the Russell.
Yeah, how much of that is tech influence?
Well, I mean, that's the point, Kevin. When you drop down to which areas are doing the best, it's going to be tech. Now, but you can say, you know, that Apple is going to somehow own the world, and when this is all over, you know, people are going to pay $2,000 for a cell phone or something, or the cloud or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of good things to say about Apple. I mean, I get that. But still, God's sake, Kevin, 24% unemployment. Who the hell is, how is the wealth of this country not going down by the day? So whatever Apple's situation is, it's clearly not as good as it was in January. Right? I mean, I'm sorry, it's not. Unless people totally undervalued it in January, which I guess could happen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just the thought of you go from a report where people are losing money right and left, and any business, anybody, the day is worse, the oil companies, everybody, we're talking about them all going to be in bankruptcy court, for God's sake. And then you say, oh, that's no problem. Look at Micron. It's going to double. From where? You know what, Kevin? If they can, and somebody always does well in bad times, I get it. And yes, I would be in the tech. But at some point, the amount of Amazon, even if they get every other store, everybody else goes bankrupt but them, and the unemployment rate stays 24%, how can they grow if people aren't working? I mean,
yeah, well, and I'm not even thinking of them. I'm thinking of all the technology companies whose stuff is getting utilized now.
Right, I get it.
And I only bring it up not because there's such great underlying value to the macro economy, but because if they're doing well, that's probably propping up the whole NASDAQ.
Kevin, there's always going to be, if all of a sudden I was watching something, I don't know what, some of the weird stuff I watch now that we're all at home. I was watching something about some eruption in the Mediterranean near Crete back in God knows when, and how it put so much dust in the air that it stopped crops from growing all around the world, and everybody's starving and all this stuff. I'm sure, Kevin, that if you and I had a down coat manufacturer back then, we'd have done fine, okay? Or a scarf manufacturer.
Right. Now, the question is, could we have carried a whole stock market, a whole stock exchange?
When you talk about the GDP going to be going down, the nominal GDP, right, this is going to be interesting, because the definition of a GDP is the sum total of all everything, goods and services made in this country, okay? But you can't just take the nominal number. There's something called a GDP deflator. In other words, if Home Depot sells 100,000 things of plasterboard this year at $5 a throw, it's $500,000 is their total contribution. Well, next year they sell 90,000, but now there's $6 a throw. It's 540, right? But if you deflate the thing by the 10%, you're actually down because you only sold 90 instead of 100. So if you don't cheat on that number, that there's no way on earth, Kevin, that this particular year is not going to be a 10 or 15% drop in GDP. So yeah, for every company that, you know, is selling at-home meeting software, God, I wish I was long all those things or owned one of them. There's going to be somebody else. There's two other people that are dropping more than he's gaining, I'm saying, just because your numbers are down.
Okay, and that's why I asked the question. I just wanted to see what your opinion was of that. We need to shift gears because we're down to the last 9 or 10 minutes here. And when you and I talked last evening, real briefly, Flynn was the big news, and it turns out that they released the 53 transcripts from the Intelligence Committee, and that's the bigger news now.
Well, who's
the one? Do you know the backstory on
that?
Right?
Yeah.
The agency that was had reviewed them pushed Adam Schiff to release them, and Schiff's original plan was to release them one at a time so that he can control the sequence and control the narrative on it. And so the agency said, well, we're just going to release them all at 10:30 tomorrow morning. So he had to dump them all last night. The big news is that they have all of these transcripts, and I need to spend a little quality time with them. The only one I really looked at for at any depth was Clapper's, but Clapper, Susan Rice, a whole bunch of people who testified, and every last one of them, when asked directly, do you have any evidence of collusion? No. And every last one of them has been publicly saying since then, we have evidence of collusion. I mean, you know, Clapper has been on TV lying about what he knows, and it was also the basis for the whole Mueller investigation. And it turns out they had no basis for the Mueller investigation. This, to me, is pretty big news.
I'm gonna push back a little bit, Kevin. Yes, it is. Yet, why? As he used to say in the trading pit, thanks for the flash, Gordon. Kevin, this goes on every day. Every day.
And?
If you gave me one thing I could do in life...
Does it go on as an attempt to take down a presidency every day?
President's the same as any other person. I mean, when I was at the... I just got into the... on the floor... And the feds made this big, I was there for a while because it was in the mid-80s. The feds decided that the Board of Trade was essentially crooked. And they didn't know why. They didn't understand what people did. They didn't even understand open outcry. They had no idea what an auction market was and how it was somewhat designed to police itself. It wasn't designed to assume that every single person was honest. It was designed to be self-policing. That was the whole idea of having every trade in the open. And so they end up deciding, well, this must be crooked. So they slammed down, they arrested, showed up at people's, you know, in the morning, dogs barking, of people that are working on the phones, people that are clerks, and jammed everybody up about what they had on them. To make this shorter, I would have a 11th Bill of Rights Amendment. It says, it's not a crime to lie to a federal agent when you're not under oath when he can lie to you. They told these people what they had on them, that they're going to be going to jail for 20 years if they didn't cough up on the people above them. Problem was, Kevin, there was no people above them. There was no clerk that could say, God, there's this guy that works at the Board of Trade. He changes people's trades at night for the guys he likes. Kevin, there was no go up. I mean, everybody sees the Martha Stewart story. Everybody sees the Rob Blagojevich story and I'm no fan of that guy. I couldn't stand him then. I can't stand him now. But the fact is, the amount of threats and things made the people around him by the U.S. Attorney's Office, the FBI, If you went back through those transcripts, Kevin, you'd be appalled. It'd be worse than the Flynn thing. This is not. I don't like what happened to Flynn.
Yeah, I really wasn't talking about Flynn, but yeah, in Flynn's case, they didn't even have a criminal investigation open. They were just going there to see if they could get him to say something, and then when the agents involved, and this is all, you know, part of the record of the last couple of weeks that's been released, when the agents involved came back and said, there's nothing there, we're going to close the investigation, it came from the top, or as they referred to it, the seventh floor, no, you're not closing it, we're going to stay after this. So, you're right, this happens a lot, and it happens too much, but then when it turned into the entire Mueller investigation, you know, that's just utterly incredible to me that is how, you know, that is what we did, and we did it for what, two full years of that.
Well, I don't
that, you know that, and what did we get out of it? Nothing. It proved to be nothing.
You know what the percentage?
And why did they? Why do you suppose they went after Flynn? Because Flynn was about to, as National Security Advisor, was about to become go into the review chain for the FISA warrants that they needed to continue Crossfire Hurricane. So they had to kneecap him, or that was over.
What do you think the I have this on good authority. What do you think the rate of conviction is in a federal court?
Very high, because they won't take you to court if they can't win.
It's like 95%.
Or in this case, they won't take you to court if they have to share all the evidence, which they didn't, which is why, you know, why I believe the FBI just withdrew the complaint ahead of the judge saying, he can withdraw his guilty plea because you withheld evidence.
Why do you think that Flynn? I'm going to tell you, man, I don't know the man. First of all, I have nothing good to say about the guy. I mean, I think I don't like the idea that he was doing stuff for other people when he was on a pension of a general. Anyway, but I don't have the evidence. I've seen some pictures and I'm drawing conclusions like I'm telling other people not to, which I shouldn't do. But what I'm saying, Kevin, is would you think, how many people a day in this country do you think, Mr. Flynn, we think you got you on this, by the way, we got how many people going on this case? How much money you got to get the best legal team? Maybe not so much. I'm going to give you 5 years right now, but let me help you. If you are, by the way, did I tell you what our conviction rate is? It's 95%. Mr. Flynn, do you know what 95% is? We very rarely lose, and we're not going to lose this one. And I'm going to tell you that if you lose, it's going to be 20 years. Now, do you want to not see your family for 5 or 20? You make the call.
Oh no! They went farther than that time. Yeah. They threatened to start going after his son.
Yeah, well, I'm saying they will do whatever they can. This has to stop, Kevin. It has
yes,
to stop
it does.
On every level.
And so maybe this is a good start.
Oh no, I doubt it. No,
it
doesn't even come close. Never come close. It just means that the people Trump put in there will use the same thing against the people he doesn't like versus the other guys.
Well, and you know, I think that's always one of the things is that when you start to see these legislations that you know give more powers to the executive branch, or when you start to dismiss some of this stuff as well, that's just a tactic. How do you feel about the other side having that same capability? Should always be the question. It should always. I mean, this was a question I kept asking when they were ramming through the Patriot Act and all that. And I said, if Hillary Clinton's the next president, how are you going to feel about
right,
her
absolutely.
Having these same powers? If you trust George W. Bush, you know, how do you feel about Hillary Clinton being
able
to do
it? We only have 30 seconds.
And I never got a good answer out of that.
But you and I have the capability, I believe, to totally disagree on four or five subjects. And yet if we're both congressmen, we're going to agree that, wait a minute, this is Congress's job, not the president. These guys have lost that ability somehow.
Oh, they have totally ceded authority to the executive branch, and they always like it when it's my side.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when it's my pen and my BlackBerry, then I like it. But when it's your pen and your BlackBerry, I hate it.
Before you show your age anymore with the BlackBerry, we'll talk to you next Wednesday. Just saying. Before you show
all
your
right.
age anymore.
It's Carl time.
S&P Futures up 27, S&P Futures up 80, 86. Be right back, Mr. Carl Denninger.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief.
We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty and the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? Have you been frustrated by the lack of income your investments have provided? If you have answered yes to either of these questions, then we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. So please give me a call at 602-298-1278, 602-298-1278, so that I can explain further the benefits that PTI can offer you and your portfolio.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. Tom Howley, Mr. Jack Silverman on the board. A cranky board this morning, but he's working his way through it. S&P futures up 27 and a quarter, and NASDAQ futures up 83 as we continue the market rally here. We're now in spots where it's kind of rarefied air, where we're up on the year on the NASDAQ, and I don't think that anyone thinks that we're better off now than we were at the start of the year. Maybe Carl, he's always an enthusiastic kind of a glasses half full kind of guy. Hey, Carl, how are you?
Oh, yeah, it may be half full, but you didn't ask what it was half full
calls.
Yes. Hey, I have one question I absolutely have to ask you, so I'll do it first, because we have payroll numbers coming today, and I'm seeing estimates of minus $22 mil. I don't think in my lifetime, in college, any place, somebody could ever think of that happening, Carl. It's just one of those. Anyway, 15.2% unemployment rate. When they give the unemployment claims number on Thursday, that for pushing 30 some years now, has been one of the most untradeable numbers ever. It's now the big number of the week. What is the difference between the initial claims and the continuing claims?
Continuing claims is a level. Initial claims is a delta. I guess that's the best way to look at it.
I read something about the continuing claims of a weak lag. Or what's that all about?
Because if you have an initial claim, then it goes into the continuing bucket, you know, the next week. The thing is that right now, those numbers are usually pretty good, and they're pretty decent high frequency information to use. Right now, they're essentially worthless, and the reason is that you have a large number of states, including some that are very badly impacted, like Florida, that essentially have either intentionally broken or stupidly broken unemployment filing systems.
I'm not, some states, I guess I could give you some kind of an idea of what their economy's like. Why is Florida so impacted?
Well, Florida's so impacted primarily because Florida has, in terms of the closures, I mean, you know, everybody was more or less to one degree or another fairly close. The problem that you have with Florida is that they, after the 2000 tech wreck, they made a number of changes continuing through the crash in 07, 08. That made it very, very difficult to both file and remain qualified for unemployment. So you, for example, they don't call it unemployment, they call it the reemployment office, okay, which is kind of an interesting way of looking at it.
Is that like sudden victory overtime, same thing?
Yeah, same sort of idea. And basically what you have to do is every week you have to log into their site, and you have to provide evidence that that you were actually searching for a job. And if you don't do that, then you get cut off. And you only have to miss one of these filings and you're whacked. The problem is that if you've ever had a file open with them before, the first time you do it in your life, you have to provide them with security questions and answers and, you know, kind of like you do with your bank, right? But if you come back there and you don't remember those for whatever reason, it's essentially impossible to recover that account. And then the other problem you run into with them is that their system is just, it's garbage. And so you'll get partway through this, you know, 30 web pages of stuff you have to go through, and it'll throw you out and lose the login information. You have to start over. So for an awful lot of people, in Florida, since this thing started, they're unemployed, but they haven't been able to file.
Okay.
So I mean, it got to the point where they actually put paper forms up on the web that you could print out and send in. And my daughter got laid off. She lives there, and she works at a gym. And of course, you know, they close the gyms, right? So you know, laid off through no fault of her own. She goes to file. She had tried to file several years earlier when she got laid off from another job, and before she could actually qualify and get any money, she found another job. But that meant that she had an entry in their system, and when she went back in there, she couldn't get back in. So she ended up having to send in a paper form, and this paper form is like 15 pages long.
I'm sure there's no office.
As far as I know, now they haven't called her back yet because they haven't allowed her gym to reopen, but she hasn't gotten so much as a penny. But she is definitely unemployed.
Just in general, if I know the idea is, I mean, when I was laid off from Pullman, God, this was 1979, so they had actually an office, and I went and waited in line, and the lady got to the front, and she goes, "Oh, you're with Pullman? Oh, yeah, we're ready for you guys. We know you all got laid off." So she was nice as pie. I mean, The form was a couple pages, and you're supposed to let them know, you know, once in a while that you were looking for a job. But I guess my question is, in terms of the law, not in terms of anybody's common sense, if I'm working for, you know, for Marty's Bar, and the city says you got to close like four a month, am I obligated to go try it and find another job for the month if I know Marty's hiring me back a month from now?
Well, it's yeah. I mean, the way the system is supposed to work is that the original unemployment setup is actually an insurance policy that you, as an employee, even though your employer is forbidden to tell you how much you paid into it, you did pay into it because it's a deduction that has to be taken off your payroll. However, the employer has to eat it. He's not allowed to actually list it. You can't even list it on someone's check, say much less deduct it from their check. That's a violation of the law, and they will come after you for it if you try to do that. But it is truly an insurance policy in that you as an employee, you know, that goes into the calculation of your salary. So your employer is, you know, is withholding that and remitting it on your behalf. And if you do not have the, you know, the time in service to have paid in, then you don't get. Now the extended stuff that they're doing now, like they were doing in 08-09, and what they're doing right now is crazy. I mean, $600 a week is, good Lord. I mean, you know, you look at that, that's, you know, that's more money than most of these people are making,
right,
that have gotten laid off.
Right.
And so for them to evade attempted recall to employment is extraordinarily profitable and will be until the end of July when that expires. And who knows if they'll extend it. Of course, you know, people like AOC want to extend it forever.
Yeah, right now in Illinois, or how's that working? In Illinois, your max you can get, I believe, is 1800. But now you're saying there's this, but what is the, where does the 600 come in? That's a federal bonus that is being applied to people. So right now you're getting 1800 plus something, is what you're telling me?
Yeah, well, 600 a week.
Well, 600 a week is 2400 a month.
It's almost $3,000.
Well, I mean, like I said, a maximum you can get in Illinois if you make enough. There's some percentage of your salary, but the, you know,
right,
if some guy's a bazillion dollar or a year guy, the most he can make is 1800 a month. And most people make
right,
less
but
than that.
But the thing is, this 600 is just a flat rate.
Oh, so everybody, the minimum now is 2400 a month, is what you're telling me.
Exactly, and the thing is, well, or more. And so, I mean, you know, a lot of states, like Florida is not a very generous state. I think the maximum you can get from them is a couple hundred a week, normally under federal unemployment. Now, there is both a federal and a state component to this. In Illinois, when I was running my internet company, there was both an FUI tax, a federal unemployment tax. There was also a state unemployment tax. And so there were both of those that I had to pay for everybody that was on my payroll. But again, I could not give anybody what those, you know, I couldn't put those numbers on your check stub, even though they weren't deductions from your check. It was illegal for me to do that.
Well, the reason for that is, I mean, whether or not it's a legitimate reason is if your firm, I know at PTI, we've never laid anybody off, but if we did, it goes against you and your rate goes up, right?
Up to a point, yeah, there's a cap. And I like to fire people for, you know, for things that they did that deserve to be fired. And they would invariably, even though they were fired for cause, they would file anyway. And
right.
Illinois is a state where, as an employer, you lose every single protest. Forget it. I mean, I fired people for not showing up for work and they were able to draw unemployment.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's pretty, I think it's a very, a worker-friendly state.
Well, it was ridiculous. And so, but I mean, so as a result, a couple of years into running the company, I had capped off on the, you know, the rate that they charged. And at that point, I didn't care. I'd fire anybody for anything because it didn't cost me anything more. I was already paying the maximum.
Current maximum weekly unemployment benefit in Illinois is $471 per week. So that's close to my 18-something-something. 1880.
Yeah, and then, you know, but now there's another $600 a week that gets added onto that by the federal government.
An additional $600?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And it's a flat rate, too. So, I mean, if you're working in a restaurant or a bar, and or somewhere that you're making, you know, $10 an hour, you got to be crazy to go back to work when you get paid $600 a week to sit around and get drunk.
Well, yeah, I've been kind of grumpy this week, Carl, and you know, because we've been flashing back and forth on the emails. First, I've been talking about the Weimar Republic in Venezuela, which I can't get a whole lot of data on, in terms of pouring money in the system and having the market go up. Because I sit here all day long watching three news things, and all these people try and come up with excuses as to why the market's going up every day, and I keep saying, it's like you load somebody up with morphine, and they're still telling you how about this broken leg or this broken arm must be doing better because you're not feeling it. No, it's the morphine, you idiot. I mean, right now it has nothing to do. I mean, there might be a few companies that are doing well with deliveries and, you know, the software for stay at home meetings and that kind of stuff. I get all that. I'm not a big dummy as much as people think. It has to do, but right now it's the money pouring in the system. And so I dug up Iran this week, and I couldn't get anything real recent, Carl, but I just happened to tweak the hair on the back of my neck the other day when they said they were going to take 4 zeros off their currencies. So even then it gets you down to some incredible number per dollar, whatever their currency is. But then I said, I'm going to go figure out what their money supply has done, and I'm going to look and see what their stock market has done. And what do you know, Carl? I mean, they like doubled their money supply over 1 year. This is 17 to 18. The stock market like doubled. It had nothing to do.
And you know, one of the things that people need to keep in mind, though, with regards to what's going on right now, and you know, the federal government basically handing out money to anybody who asks, is that it's not really money; it's credit.
Right.
Okay. First off, and the second is you can't print a chicken.
Right.
Okay. You can print credit, but you can't print a chicken. And the unfortunate reality of all of this is every nation that is going down this road is discovered, and they keep trying to claim that, you know, oh boy, we're special. We're so different.
Yeah.
It won't happen to us. What ultimately always happens is it shows back up in prices, and you won't know where it's going to show up. And what all the politicians love is when it shows up in the stock market. Right, because that there's no downside to that for anybody in the political sphere at all. But unfortunately, where it usually shows up is in things like food, and when that happens, you're hosed because there isn't anything you can do about it.
Well, they caught a big break with the oil, but you know what the hair that stuck up on the back of my neck that got singed. I actually dug into some more research on the Weimar Republic. You're the one guy I can tell this to. Is that the reason why they did what they did was because they couldn't afford the reparations to France and England, right?
Correct.
So they started putting more money in the system. Okay, you want $50 a month? We'll give you $50 a month. But the 50 ain't gonna be worth squat, basically, right? So that's what they did for like from 1919 to 1923. They absolutely buried their citizenry. Anybody who had savings now had nothing. I mean, people literally were getting a check in the morning and running to the grocery store and buying a bread because it was morning after. I mean, it was one of the biggest fiascos in terms of citizenry and health of your population, like, ever, Carl. Yet at the end of the day...
Well,
at the end of the day, and this stunned me. At the end of the day, they considered it a success. Because it's so screwed up, the reparation stuff, that France and England actually did renegotiate and then got lower reparations. So they called it a success, Carl. I mean, when we're done, are our guys going to call this a success? When everybody's savings is worth half what it was before? I mean, we still have Carl? And we still have me. Jack, are you there?
I'm here.
We got Carl back. He must have dropped. But yeah, this is a road you don't want to go down, and we're going right down it. I mean, if I can read this stuff, I mean, God's sake, these guys have more degrees than they're all got double and triple PhDs. They don't care. They think we're different. It's like Warren Buffett the other day. Carl was just like, I don't know. I was talking about the Weimar Republic, and they actually I said the Weimar Republic actually considered it a success. Because they were able to renegotiate.
Well, the thing that people need to keep in mind is that what Germany did with that actually caused the rise of Hitler.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Because what happens when you have a starving population, eventually? Somebody comes along and says, I can fix that.
Yeah, somebody who had, I don't know, I told you a few weeks ago, I'm not proud of this, I've become addicted, unfortunately not by porn on the internet, because at least that doesn't scramble your brain. I've been looking at these pictures from like the 30s and 40s in different countries where people have taken, you know, their photographs. And some of the stuff I've seen in Germany in the 30s, how Hitler had captivated a population. I mean, the guy was, you know, a gross, whatever, murdering human being. Tell you what, Carl, he had a style and a way with people. He made Bill Clinton look like a chump. I mean, he was impeccably dressed. He knew just how to kiss babies. There was one scene, I've mentioned this before, of he walks into this hospital, and there's this guy that must have been working at a, who knows where he was working, a U-boat manufacturer or something, and Hitler's got this impeccable white outfit on. Whoever his tailor was, did one hell of a job. And the guy is in the bed, you know, burning God knows percent of his body. Looks like he's in whatever kind of pain. He sees Hitler, and he goes to give him the high Hitler thing. Hitler, without hesitation, without reaching for a handkerchief, without reaching for a mask on his face, without doing any stuff we would do today, grabs his hand out, stops the guy's hand from doing the thing, gently puts it back down, doesn't, like, wipe his hand off, and salutes the guy. And I'm sitting there going, wow. There isn't, I don't, maybe Roosevelt had that kind of appeal to people, I don't know, but I tell you what, this dude had panache when it came to dealing with people on a one-to-one basis.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I think people are kind of, you know, ignoring to some degree here, and it's quite dangerous to do so, is that you take a look at what's showing up in some of the other high frequency data here. Productivity and cost data was out the other day. And that's a report that I used to do an article on every time that it showed up. I stopped doing it because it, along with, actually, believe it or not, the employment posting that I do every month is one of the worst circulated among everything I write. Okay, now you would think that would be one of the most circulated and most read, but it's because it's some of the most topical data to anybody.
In the words,
right,
of Jack Nicholson, you can't handle the truth.
Yeah, well, you know what? There's an awful lot of truth there because it you know, I mean, I put it out every month, but it gets very little readership and very little circulation. And of course, I can see, you know, where all of the inbound, you know, links are coming from and such. It just doesn't get circulated and distributed. People don't read it. They don't care, apparently. But that one and the other one that I used to do all the time, and I stopped doing it. Well, there were two others: the productivity and labor cost numbers, and then the other one was the Fed Z1, which was that's a quarterly release. But I used to do that one every quarter. That one takes a lot of time to do because you have to go through and update all the data tables. And then the other problem with it is the Fed has this habit of changing what goes in what column, and they reorganize the data schema often enough that just when you get things, you know, things are fine for a couple of years, and then they do this and they screw everything up, and then go back and try to reconcile all of that with the way it was previously reported becomes extremely difficult.
Difficult for you, impossible for me.
I mean, I'm sorry?
Difficult for you, impossible for me. That's why they used to have a page where you could go back on employment back to like 46. You can't find that anymore. It's a good thing I ran it off. I have it here.
Right. And, well, see, I mean, this is one of the things is that they, you know, they change the data format. The old one disappears. And so you have a database of the old information. The new one won't drop into there. If you try to force it into there, you'll scramble the usability of what you already have. And so after the second or third time they did this to me, I just gave up on it because it wasn't very well circulated. People apparently didn't think it was of much value to them. But at the same time, I can make the argument they were doing this on purpose because why else would you do something in that kind of a way, right? And yet it was something that became a real problem.
Well, used to be able
the
to
latest one was when they shoved all of the student lending under Obama into the federal government, and that was allegedly the cause of the latest dislocation that I saw on their tables.
Well, if you try and find even, there used to be a money supply table going back to like 1900 or something, and it was just right there, simple, unadjusted, adjusted. You can't get that anymore.
Right. Well, they don't want that kind of thing out there. You know, that's bad information from their point of view.
Hey, Carl, I want to get you because we might talk about it next week because we're going to try and get him on the show. Matt Tiabi talking about censorship and so forth. And as usual, like nothing is ever just sort of one topic. I talk to people even now, and I say, it's almost like the Patriot Act with the wearing mask thing. Oh, God, you got to wear one. What's the matter with you? You're disrespecting people, according to Jay Pritzker. And I say, I've read enough articles back and forth that say it's marginal benefit to somebody else and actually is a detriment to you because you're constantly touching your face, which I have worn the thing a few times, and I'm constantly, my glasses are steaming up and everything, I'm constantly touching my face. So it's actually a detriment to you, probably. But it may be, in a certain case, a positive to somebody else, but doubtful. You know, so I mean, it is, you know, at the very least, on a scale of 100, it's 52% positive, right? It's nowhere near 95 or anything like that. But I'm saying that the missed news, even this morning, I'm driving in and they go, there's a big accident on Dan Ryan, and I don't expect everybody to be like a podcast where you and I are here to do our research and give people our opinions that helps them trade better, live better, whatever, learn better, think, something to think about in the morning. I mean, that's our goal. It's not the goal of the news people, whatever their goal happens to be. But I mean, just the amount of people who will continually tell you day after day there's 85,000 cases in China. Kyle, everybody has to know that's wrong. And now this morning, there's an accident on Orion, and the guy goes way up the thing. And I've mentioned a few times here, tongue in cheek, that now a few people on the road. Of course, there's never a policeman anywhere. We're still paying them, I'm sure. There's nobody anywhere. The average speed now has got to be 25 miles an hour over the limit. But if you don't find somebody going 105 by you coming back on a Stevenson on Sunday, three or four people, I mean, there's something wrong. So the guy says this morning, he goes, well, you know, we've noticed these accidents are a little more severe now because normally people would be stuck in traffic going 20 miles an hour. And now they're free to go the limit. I go, the limit. Why would you even say something like that? I mean, what I'm saying, I want to set this up for after the break, is what Matt Tiabi's talking about is that he doesn't want any censorship. Well, I don't either, because censorship is the cure is worse than whatever the disease is. I honestly believe that. Yet I look at some things. I know that I've had people, friends of mine, matter of fact, somebody asked me to work on a case with them, about somebody stealing things online, you know, tracking into somebody's email. You know, they have an email from you going to your partner to send money to something else, and you didn't even write it, and the money goes out because your partner thinks.
Right.
I mean, that stuff is, talk about pandemic, it's endemic. And yet law enforcement has decided that's not our job. Absolutely has decided that's not our job. Even though we don't want terrorist actions in France or any other place, the fact that people are sending money all around to these places and wiring money over there, All the crap that was in the Patriot Act, these guys have decided that's not their business. They don't care. It's up to you to police it, type of thing. So we have those kind. I mean, the truth that is sort of out. Well, the same thing is hitting me. And again, I'm just setting this up for after break. The same thing is hitting me back in when we were young. If somebody spread bad rumors about you or put a poster up on the church bulletin board, and you find out who the guy was, you could say, "Hey, pull it down, apologize, or I'm going to dot your I." Not that you want to, everything is violent, and I'm a big, tough guy, which I'm not. Or if the Tribune put out something that was absolutely wrong, you had redress in the courts, and guess what? A judge might actually take the case, right? You might actually...
Right.
I mean, there was some sort of redress to this. But now everybody's a reporter, everybody's something. Everybody gets a chance to put their spin on something, and... you know, and there doesn't seem to be any redress for people that are harmed. But let's talk about this after the break. S&P futures now up 22, NASDAQ futures up 66. I've got every single stock in the Dow up before the opening. Same thing in the transportation average. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox.
The Control Freak's Guide to Life, Money, and Probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Jack, say something for 10 seconds. Wait, I'm sitting here buying futures. Unemployment rate was only 14.7%, not 15.1%. We only lost 20.5 million jobs, not 22. This is bullish. What do you think? Is that bullish to you? I'm not so sure.
I don't know. It sounds bullish to me.
No, it does not sound bullish to me either. S&P futures down up 27. NASDAQ futures up 76. We really haven't moved since these numbers came out. We'll get the full scoop on these from Carl in a second. Dow futures up 249. Over in Europe, we've got DAX up 122, 1%. FTSE up 82, 1.4%. CAC around up 37.8%. Renasia, we've got the Nikkei up 504, catching up here, 2.5%. Shanghai up 23.8%. Hang Seng up 249.1%. Bonds, 0.62. 10-year rate, the Bund, minus 0.54. Japan, minus 0.004. So as close to even as you just about can get there. Oil up 23 cents, 23.78. As again, the Contango continues to narrow a little bit in the oil as the oil market gets, I won't say back to normal, but getting at least not as crazy as it was a couple weeks ago. Natural gas, 186, down 3 cents. RBOB, 93 cents. Gold, now down 360 on these numbers. I don't know why that would be. Silver up 19 cents, and I think that's the one, it might be the one that's going to catch up here, but like I said, it's a tough contract to trade, so I've been meaning to get along, Carl, but I haven't gotten along yet. Jack, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
We're looking pretty good this morning. There's no major traffic coming in or out of the city. We do have one thing to report, however. There is inside of the city, there is a bridge that is closed on LaSalle Street between Wacker Drive and Kinsey Street for bridge testing. For weather, we're looking at a cold one today in Chicago, 39 with a high of 41, mostly sunny though. We do have 26 mile per hour winds inside the city by the lake. In Phoenix, we're looking a bit warmer, 72 degrees, partly cloudy, with a high of 104. This day in sports, May 8th, 1988, a 25-year-old Michael Jordan scores 39 in the Bulls' 107-101 victory over the Cavs. This was Game 5 of the Eastern Conference first round, which brings Jordan's series total up to 226 points, breaking Bernard King's record of 213 points set 4 years prior.
That's not the one they won, is it? What year was that?
This was 88.
All right, man.
So
no,
it was a little
definitely
bit before
not.
They won. They lost in the next round to the Bad Boy Pistons, who went on to the finals but lost in 7 to the Lakers.
All right. Well, the Carl, reason why they're fixing the bridges, guys like you pretty soon are going to start running your sailboats and yachts down there. By the way, are we going to let people on sailboats and yachts? I mean, you can't be a part there. Are we going to stop the boating season too?
Well, you know, if you think about that, that's really stupid, because if there is one place I cannot transmit the virus to somebody else, it's when I'm sitting in the middle of the lake on my boat.
By yourself?
Well, or with people in my family.
What makes you say that?
Well, if you live in my house, are you any more likely to get it in the house than you are on the boat?
You understand? You're not picking this stuff up. You could never be a politician.
Oh no, I know, because I would invite my 472 friends to come with me, right?
Well, you also, your buddy Cuomo, who I actually happen to like, is shocked that 82% of the people tested positive in the last 2 weeks have been sheltering in place and living at home.
Well, as I have pointed out since this thing started, these measures were worthless in terms of actually preventing transmission.
Absolutely. It's putting somebody else's house.
So we murdered the economy for nothing.
No, you kept people home and away from you.
Oh.
You don't care.
Okay.
You don't care. I mean, it's like Lori Lightfoot. If you were to ask me where in Chicago is the biggest chance of this breaking out, since I happen to know people of different colors, races, religions, I would say in the Hispanic community, because there's more people live together. I mean, there's a family in the upstairs, and the son and daughter, while they're saving up money for a house, will live in the basement. There might be 7-8 people in the same place. I would say, I mean, and most of those people are still working. They need the money, and they probably don't have jobs or are getting paid anyway. They're home. So it doesn't shock me at all that there's a blip in the Hispanic community. Why would it shock me, Carl? I try not to be an idiot.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. You actually have, I mean, if anything, you've increased the transmission.
Yes, absolutely. But it doesn't matter. It's not going to jump from Pilsen to my place, to Lincoln Park.
Oh, no, I get that.
Yeah.
All I'm pointing out is that the data, you know, my base hypothesis on all of this was formed when we had the Diamond Princess situation at the end of February. Okay.
Yeah.
And it was a decent hypothesis based upon the information we had at the time. Through the month of March, it became a hypothesis backed by hard data across the country.
And now, it's, you know, once you got into April, it became a proved fact. And yet you still got Pritzker and the other clown faces around the country who are just flat out refusing to look at what the data tells them and making stuff up as they go along because they can.
Right.
And the people of the country are putting up with it because they can. And, you know, now you're seeing the kind of thing that you got now. I've just gone through this data. This is actually, there's some fascinating information in here. The people who got pounded the worst in terms of job losses were in the middle. Remember, for years now, I've been talking about the barbell. If you have no college experience whatsoever, all you got is a high school diploma or less, or if you have a bachelor's degree, you've had a job. Okay?
Right.
And it's the people in the center that have gotten hosed. Now, you might not like what you made with that job at the lower end, but you had one. And that's where the growth has been. It's all Mick jobs. It hasn't been in the higher end stuff. Well, guess what? The people who all got fired, if you look at the statistics, you are almost twice as likely to have been fired if you were in the middle of that barbell.
Every president for the last, well, terms for the last six or seven has had the entire campaign, 80% of the diarrhea that comes out of their mouth has to do with helping the middle class. The middle class has done nothing but get buried over that entire period.
They've got positively destroyed by this. Okay, now here's another interesting thing. Average hourly earnings, total private, is up almost $1.40 from last month.
Okay, and what is that?
Explain to me how that happens when the lower end people, the people that are working in the grocery store, still have jobs.
That's a good question. I think
I have crazy unemployment here, and yet I've got. The average hourly earnings, $28.67 last month. This month, $30.01.
Average hourly earnings is $30.
Yeah.
You're talking about mean, not median.
Correct. Average. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. But see, the thing is this. Think about this. What did we hear through all this? That it was only the essential, you know, the line people that were still going to work, right?
Right.
Everybody else has been playing fun employment. Well, the data says that's BS.
Okay.
Okay. And the other thing is, okay, so we've got this huge drop. By the way, 133,326 is the number that I've got for employed. To put some perspective on that, the last time we had a number of that size was May of 1999, and at that time our non-institutional population was 207.5 million. Now it's 259.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question for you. I want to, at some point here, I want to talk about this Matt Taibbi thing, but this, since you're around here for the labor stuff generally, although you're on here for every topic. What happens? All right, this is not the one you read. You got the better one, but this is the one if somebody went online and just looked at the dumb one like I do. We went from our population the same. We somehow dropped people in the labor force. We dropped 6 million. We don't know where the hell they went.
The NILF number went way up too.
And we dropped from 155,772. People employed in March to 133,403. So there's your 20 point something million. So only 51% of the people are actually working now. Of people that could be working. All right. So
we went from 59.7 last month. By the way, the high water mark from this cycle was 60.9, which was in February.
Alright, so yours is a little different. I got 61.2 in January, but we're close. So we went from 7 million.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. 61.2 in 2019-10. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. We went from 7 million unemployed to 23. Alright, so you're getting that number. The unemployment rate went from 4.4 to 14.7. We also stuck 7 million people in this. We don't know what the hell they're doing, Carl. Who are these guys? We went from 96.8 to 103 million people. we don't know what the hell they're doing. I mean,
they all went on disability because, you know, believe me, they're not all people who were infected with COVID.
No. So, but I mean, that's 7 million with 7 million in 1 month. I mean, and here's what I'm saying. We're down to 51% of the people working. I don't see how in the hell, Carl, and I guess it's not just against Jay or Illinois and wherever. It to me, it's affecting people's decision process. Let's push the Matt Taibbi stuff off to next time here, unless we get time at the end here. But the decision-making process, I can't trust the decision from Michelle Smith, Lori Lightfoot, or Jay Pritzker. Not that he doesn't have enough money, he does. I can't trust the decision from people that are still getting paid from the people that aren't working. They have to realize, even what you need to do here, I don't care what the Constitution says. I know that's a really dumb thing to say. You have to say, somewhere here, if you push this out anymore, you have to say that everybody in state government is taking a 20% hit or 25% in their sale. Doesn't matter how big it is, Kyle. It means that, and you have to say, since the amount of people that are now working to pay people that aren't working, meaning people in pension, we're cutting everybody's pension by 15%. I know that's going to be challenging, court, and you'd lose, but you have to make it people think that somehow or another everybody's getting burned by this. Because I tell you what, I'm not a vindictive dude. You know that. The thought that our people living in their summer home in Wisconsin, not working for the city and getting a check up there, that blows, Carl. It really blows. And people are not happy with it, I don't think.
Well, you're gonna have to do it because we've talked about the situation that you have with certain buildings in Chicago that are essentially, they'll never be occupied by anybody again because nobody in their right mind will ever take on the tax liability. Okay, right. They have negative value for that reason, and that problem is going to spread throughout huge parts of the country. Especially in the large cities with bloated governments and bloated pension costs. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get much, much worse. And this sort of data here, when you see this kind of stuff show up, and then you say, oh, by the way, if you're a teacher, even though you don't have to work, you're getting paid full price, right? If you're, you know, if you're a whatever, pick one. Alright, well, look at the DMV, okay? The DMV where I live right now is open. I just moved. I had to go get my driver's license changed, and guess what? I was actually able to go in and do that and get my, you know, car titles switched.
I don't think they're open here. Somebody must be open, Carl, because if you buy a car, there has to be one of them that's open someplace. I mean, because if you buy a car, what do you do? How do you get a license?
Well, how do you get a tag? Right, exactly. Yeah. And so, well, you know, for renewals, they're asking you to go through the drive-through line because they have a drive-through line for renewals and stuff like that, right? Or do it on the internet; they mail it to you. But the thing is that, you know, at least around here, these services are open. They're being quote unquote careful, but they're open. But in a lot of places, they're not. And so, those people are being paid to sit around and get drunk all day.
Yeah. By the way, where did you work?
Oh, that's crazy.
Are you on the Redneck Riviera? I know that's politically incorrect, but where are you?
Not anymore. I have moved. I now live in Tennessee instead of Florida.
Really?
I got out of Florida. Florida is DeSantis. I was planning on doing it before this started, and I was in the process of doing it when it hit. But it was a political situation in Florida, and where I saw that heading that led me to abandon the state.
But there's a lot of Tennesseans there.
Well, it's shocking how reasonably intelligent people are around here. You know, I mean, the guy across the street when I first bought this place, you know, and started moving stuff up here, and you know, the COVID thing's going. He came over. He actually shook my hand, and he didn't have a mask on.
Are you like in Memphis, or are you in the backwaters?
Oh, good Lord, no, Northeast.
So are you hanging around on the Tennessee Valley Authority reservoir with some big dock or something?
No, I'm being a whole lot more modest about things. You know, I think there's some real trouble coming, and so monetizing some of the value that I had laying around looked like an intelligent thing to do.
I have to ask this question. Is there room for me?
Well, that depends on how much beer you have with you.
I mean, is there like a little... You know, father-in-law thing with a kitchen, and never have to bug you too often. The thing is, I always cook.
No, that's not really part of. I mean, I didn't do anything extravagant enough to have that. So,
Well, if I cooked enough and it made it smelled good enough, even if you didn't want to, you'd be wandering over for dinner.
Well, that might be true. Then again, you know, it's there doesn't seem to be the stupidity around here does not seem to have infected very much. There's a few people walking around with masks, but for the most part, no.
Was there a restaurant or a bar or anything open?
Oh, heck yeah! I, in fact, just yesterday I stopped in. There's a place that I had found when I first started looking around here, and the first moment they were able to reopen, they did, and I can actually go have a beer and something to eat there.
Can you sit at the bar?
No, not yet. But I can sit at a table and you know, and have some food.
Good
and,
for you.
And some drinks.
Good for you. I think you and I, the thing we have seriously in common here. Do you think the people that are making these decisions, I mean, what is Jay Pritzker think his out is? I mean, does he? I mean, he thinks that next week, if it wasn't for a loan from the federal government, or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, he's going to bounce these checks. Okay, he still thinks that he somehow is balanced because he didn't pay people last fiscal year. Where do they think the comeback is, Carl? I mean, there's no way on earth. I mean, the same time this happened was like the week that we got the notice that the household debt has reached yet a new record level. I mean, this is like everything that could possibly be going wrong money-wise is going wrong at the same time. And I understand why they want to keep the market higher. I understand that most of the population doesn't know that the nominal GDP does not equal regular GDP. And if, you know, you keep lying about the deflator, you make people feel good even though they're not. But somewhere along the line, even the I won't say the dumbest, because I don't think there are any dumb human beings. Collectively, we can be very dumb, but individually, not so much. Someplace, somewhere, somebody's going to have to stop thinking, I don't need these guys blowing smoke up my behind telling me how good things are when everybody I know is out of work. I mean, 24% is like a big number, or whatever it is. It's a 14.
Well, yeah, and it's and the thing is that the dislocation that they've generated in employment. What I don't understand is that when you if you're someone like Pritzker, okay, you understand that that excises, essentially sales taxes and similar, sales and income taxes are how the state makes it. That's how it gets its revenue. Okay, the counties get their revenue from property taxes for the most part. Right? There's some exceptions, but for the most part, if you look at balance sheets at the state and local level, that's where it comes from. And so when you look at these numbers and you say, well, so I've got no sales going on because I've got no commerce. I've closed down the entire leisure and hospitality industry, which is like 16% of the economy. It's not a small number at all. In fact, that's bigger than the residential construction blow up that nailed everybody in 07, 08, right? I mean, it's three times the size. Residential construction is about 5% of the economy. So we had a major crash over a dislocation in a 5% area of the economy. We've now zeroed essentially 16%. And if you think that that's not going to reflect back into the budget, you're out of your mind.
Well, Carl, if you take this, I misspoke when I said 20% of the unemployment rate. The unemployment rate came in at 14.7, but if you add the 7 million that's scattered over to this column, we don't know what they do, into the part that's actually unemployed, which is easy to do, you come up
with
20. Yeah, you're up to 20. But here's the question, the big question for you today, this weekend. You can think about it, ponder it. Some of the stuff that they're doing is so stone cold ignorant in terms of what's good for the state. I'm talking about just in terms of money. Is there a man behind the curtain somewhere? I mean, simple stuff like, first of all, we let Amazon take over the state without paying state income taxes for 20 years or 15 years. Stone cold ignorant. I mean, did Rauner, Blagojevich, did everybody have stock in Amazon or something? Or were their wives or them buying TVs and clothes and through Amazon, didn't want to pay the tax? Were they the ones that are getting around? There was no enforcement whatsoever of that. Okay, so now here we have this thing happens, this pandemic. And, you know, it's not, I've some friends of mine from Notre Dame and stuff have had it and said it's a pretty rocky 2 weeks if you survive, if you're older.
Yeah.
It's not like it's an easy thing. So all of a sudden now we have Macy's, we've got all these stores that pay a boatload of property taxes. We shut them down. But we don't say people can't buy blue jeans, you can't buy shirts, you can't buy anything. We say you have to buy them through Amazon. Now, the people that are paying the property taxes, we're shutting down. And the people that are paying no taxes, or maybe now they're paying some sales taxes, if they have a distribution center here, which Amazon now does, although I think they still skate on the stuff they say comes from the independent place in North
they
Dakota.
Do.
They don't want to, they still skate on that. So you're totally screwing the guy that's paying you, and he's buying the same thing. The Carl and Chief Blue Jean Company you just closed. Nobody can go in there. We're paying sales tax, full sales tax, local to what Amazon, I don't know if they do, and we're paying property taxes. We're closing us and say, if you want blue jeans, you got to go to Amazon. The stupidity here is mind-boggling to me. Can't you say that you can deliver blue jeans at the curb or something? Or what the hell? Why? I mean, that can't, these guys can't be this stupid, Carl. There's got to be something.
Well, they apparently are.
But there's got to be something behind it. There's somebody wants the triumvirate of Jeff Bezos, they got the guy at Apple. These guys must be sitting in a room somewhere, and they're like Inverbrass, deciding where the world's going to be in 5 years from now. Every single time the takeover is because every one of these other companies that you mentioned earlier, and Kevin, the meeting companies and so on, they're all going to be bought by Apple or Microsoft, right? The ones that are successful, or not all of them, but some. We're going to start seeing one. We just saw Allergan getting bought by somebody the other day. This will keep happening relentlessly. Is this the game? Is this just another crisis to where the same people come out smelling like a rose? I mean, something's going on. I don't think Jay Pritzker is that dumb. Wait a minute. Carl's Place is paying me $50,000 a year in property taxes. I'm going to say he can't sell blue jeans, but we're going to go to Amazon. They don't even pay sales taxes. I mean, there's something wrong here, Carl. There's something wrong.
Well, I think part of what's, frankly, I think part of what's going on within the blue states in particular is that there is a concerted effort to damage the administration that is not backed by any kind of reasonable science. And then that's amplified by and justified in a sense by the folks with the crazy models who have been proven wrong repeatedly. Okay, but that is the justification they use, is that, well, we have this IHME model, we have this model that says that if we don't do this, then all these people are going to die, and therefore we have to do it because otherwise everybody's going to die, and so we're going to do it. Okay, and the problem is those models have all been shown to be frauds, and yet they are the justification for the kind of actions that you're seeing being taken. And so how do you counter that? Okay, especially when there is a desire among certain people within the political class to see certain outcomes. And remember, you know, Trump in many ways did this to himself because he essentially made the stock market the referendum on his presidency.
Right. Right.
So if you can crash the market and you can crash the economy, you can damage him politically. That was a stupid thing for him to do, but he gave them that tool, and now they're using it.
Trying to. But his Fed's pouring some money in.
The problem is they're screwing everybody else at the same time, but they don't care.
All right, Carl, we got a dash, buddy. Take care of yourself. Keep the writings coming. I keep reading them. Carl at Tennessee, and I mean, it's going to take me a while to I'm going to have to champ on that one a while. I suppose it's better in Kentucky. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. Anyway, have a good one, buddy. Thank you. Thanks, Jack. S&P futures up 31. NASDAQ futures up 82. Be back Monday. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.